ahead and turn to Acts chapter 2. We are looking at the history of the early church as Jesus has risen from the grave. He's ascended up to heaven and his Holy Spirit has come upon his people. The same thing we share in right now. If we placed our faith in him, we all have his Holy Spirit to help us understand his word, to help us live it in our lives. And we're seeing the beginnings of the church. And so this is very much something that's still applicable to us today. It's kind of the nuts and bolts of what church should look like. And so we want to pay attention to it for that reason. Last week was a very great path. We went through a passage by passage that has a lot of significance for our church because it's kind of our mantra, our theme verse. And that's Acts 2:42 because it tells us the things that the early church was devoted to. So we spent the time going through those things. Basically, these are things that they prioritized. They were intentional about making happening in their lives. And number one was the apostles' teaching or learning and living out the word of God. And the second thing was fellowship or basically community or doing life with each other as brothers and sisters. And we kind of camped out on that at the end there, talking about how we're family. We're unified even greater than like where we look at our blood family, but we're unified by the blood of Jesus. We all have the same DNA, if you will, because of that. And so we're to live as such. The third thing we talked about was the breaking of bread or communion. They were devoted to remembering God's sacrifice because it's so easy to remember or forget like who you are as a child of God and all the promises come with that. You can get so distracted in life that we've got to remember that constantly. And then the last thing, understanding the power in it, they were devoted to prayer. And so today, we're going to spend our time looking at the results or the outcomes of them being devoted to these four things. Like they kept church really simple. They kept their lives really simple. These were the things that were the priority. And we see these positive effects, these positive results that naturally flow out of that, things that I think when we look at these, we'd all agree are things we want to see in our own lives as followers of Jesus, but things you can't manufacture yourself. They come out of your relationship with him. So we're going to break those down, but let me go ahead and read the section we're in, and then I'll pray, and then we'll kind of go through these five different things. So starting in verse 43, Acts 2, it says, "In awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, again, we just want to settle our minds. I just even have to be honest, Lord, I came in here this morning just really distracted by stuff going on in the world. And Lord, you're in control of everything going on right now. Nothing is thwarting your plans. As your word says, we can truly cast our cares to you, knowing you care for us. We don't need to hold on to these things. We can come to you in prayer and know that you hear those prayers and you'll answer them in the best way possible. So we don't need to worry about such things, Lord. We just want to, as Matthew 6 says, seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness and all these other things will be given to you. You'll take care of everything else. We just want to seek you and that's why we're here. So we don't want to miss out on what you want to say to us in your word. So we want to give you our undivided attention, Lord. So I pray you'd speak to us. Our hearts would be as if they were good soil, ready to receive the seeds you want to plant so they grow into fruitful plants, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So, as I said, they were devoted to four things. And the first result I want you to see of them being devoted to those four things in verse 43 is that they were spirit-filled. Let me read verse 43. It says, "And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles." So the Holy Spirit was basically showing evidence of the power of God in these believers' lives through these apostles doing many, not just a few, many signs and wonders. And it was leaving everyone in awe. Basically, they were seeing these things happening that could only be evidence, like there was no other explanation, that it was God that was doing these things. They were so magnificent, or it was so obvious. So such answers of prayer, like it was like, well, that was God, or such amazing things, that was God. And I would pretty much just assume that every single one of us in here want to have awe in our lives regarding our relationship with God. Would you guys agree with that? You want to see God doing miraculous things. You want to see him giving you the victory he's promised over the things in your life that you know aren't of him. You want to see him answer your prayers in such a way that it's like you can give him praise because that is God and you see him active in your life. You want to see the fruit of following him, like change in your life where you're becoming more like Jesus. These are all things we want to see, right? And really, how that works is Jesus talks about it in John 15. He talks about it as abiding in Jesus. That's really the same thing as kind of living a spirit-filled life, because when you're abiding in Jesus, basically you're being controlled by the Holy Spirit. Instead of trying to control your own life, you're letting God and his Spirit inside of you control things, okay? Paul refers to it in Galatians 5:16 as walking by the Spirit. And if you kind of go to like Jesus's example of abiding, he uses the example of a branch being connected to a vine, right? If you guys are familiar with that, basically we're the vine and he's the branch. And so think of it this way. If you're the vine and you're connected to the branch, you're connected to Jesus, you're abiding, you're staying close to him, you're walking with the Spirit, then that Holy Spirit is like the sap that's just pulsating through that branch into the vine to basically produce life in you and for you to produce fruit for others to enjoy, okay? And so what gets in the way of that whole thing is if you are not connected to the branch, okay? And what we've been talking about is like through these believers' devotion to these four things, ultimately what that was a reflection of was their devotion to Jesus. And these four things that they do are the same way that we're devoted to Jesus, or the same way that we're abiding, that we stay connected to him. We devote ourselves to the word. We devote ourselves to doing life together. We devote ourselves to prayer. We devote ourselves to remembering Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. That is what leads to a spirit-filled life and seeing God's Spirit work through you and in you. Amen? When I am close to Jesus, I see those things. And like when it's saying signs and wonders, I would encourage you to also think above just kind of like the miraculous stuff of like, you know, as we read through Acts, like the next chapter, like they're walking by a paralyzed guy and hey, get up and walk. You know, it's like obviously that's cool stuff. We don't see that every day. I have been a part of praying for people where they were miraculously healed before. But I'm saying just like the everyday thing where like you're walking and the Lord puts something on your heart. And you're like, I don't know if that's the Lord, but I think I'm going to do this. And then like it's confirmed in some way, like, whoa, that was the Holy Spirit. And I actually heard him right. I can't believe it. You know, just a couple weeks ago, I had a couple people tell me that they came to church. You know, like I had I pray about what to put up on that TV screen, like if it's a theme for what we're talking about today. Honestly, I feel like it's a word from the Lord wherever I put up there. And that particular Sunday, I had the word wait, and I was talking about how we need to wait upon the Holy Spirit. We don't just move forward. We wait till the Holy Spirit guides us. And there was a couple of people that were like, man, I came to church that day. I had this going on in my life, and I saw that. And right from the beginning, I knew this word was going to be for me. And it was like directly to this thing that I needed to wait. See, that's for me, seeing the Holy Spirit work in my life. It's like, praise the Lord. I actually heard you right, Lord, today. Amen. Earlier this week, there was somebody like the Lord put on my heart, like I was listening to this prophecy update, and I was like, I should send this to this person, you know, just out of the blue. So I'm like, okay, I'll send them a message with this. And they're like, this is crazy. I've been like busy all day, and I finally just sat down, and I turned this exact same thing on the TV, this prophecy update you sent. And it's like, and I'm like, well, I guess the Lord was just confirming, you need to sit down and watch this. But having said that, like when you're, again, when you're connected to the vine, when you're just in line with Jesus, his Holy Spirit does stuff like that, and you start seeing it for what it is, and that's the exciting life you're supposed to have as a Christian. Like, understanding that, wow, I really don't need to steer the wheel. Like, we sing that country song, like, Jesus, take the wheel. You can let him do that, but you have to let him. And you stay devoted, you stay close, and that's how you start seeing that. Amen? So that's the first thing they were in awe, all right, because God was doing all this crazy stuff. They were spirit-filled as a result of being devoted to those four things. Now, the second thing, and this is really important to me because there's a lot of stuff going on in our world that would want to get in the way of this right now, okay, or the enemies behind all of it. But listen up. So the second thing is that they were in unity, okay? It says in verse 44, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. So these early believers were devoted to Jesus through being devoted to these four things. And the result of that is that they were together, like doing life together like we are right now. And that they had all things in common. It's another way of saying they were of one mind. They were unified in how they were living life, okay? Now, unity comes out of being devoted to the right things, okay? Which ultimately is Jesus. Discord and division comes out of being devoted to the wrong things. And so if there is division, if there is discord in your heart, that's what that's evidence of. Something is out of whack. And here's the beautiful thing as believers, we can, and we're getting lots of practices in this right now, we can have differing opinions about things that aren't black and white in the Bible, and we can have civil conversations and respect each other's convictions and stuff, and at the same time, through all of it, be completely unified, not divided at all. And when we do let ourselves get divided, we are absolutely in sin, and we are letting the enemy get exactly what he wants. You know, I tell my boys this all the time because they like to fight. They're boys, and they're at each other's throats. But there's no excuse because, like, what I tell them is, guys, you guys are family. You're brothers. You're going to have a whole lot of people out in that world that are against you. You need to stand up for each other. You need to stick together, okay? I'm going to tell you guys the same thing. You guys are family. And if you haven't noticed, we're the minority out there, okay? When we say these things like, this is crazy, why are you thinking like this, and we get all this backlash, does it really surprise us? We are the minority. The majority of the world out there is being deceived by the enemy, and our eyes are open because we have the Holy Spirit in us. So guys, we need to stick together, because the enemy would want us to go off separately, because he knows as soon as we are, we're vulnerable, we're weak. And so, like I said, we can have difference of opinions about things that aren't biblical, different convictions. That's okay. And still be unified. Not let that get in the way of our relationship with Jesus, okay? And it comes, like I said, being devoted to the right thing, having your focus in the right place. There's a lot of talk right now, you know, just on like our rights being taken away. And I absolutely agree with that. It sucks. Okay, like some of the things that we never thought as Americans would be imposed on us, it absolutely sucks, okay? But having said that, I want my focus to be on the greatest right I've been given more than anything else. And that's found in John 1:12. It says in John 1:12, but to all who believed in him, talking about Jesus, and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. Through your faith in Jesus, you have the right to be a child of God. Can I get a bigger amen? All right? Now, when your focus is on that, you realize, it doesn't necessarily make it feel any better as things are being taken away, but you realize no matter what rights it's taken, whatever you might lose in this world, it pales in comparison to all you've been given by Jesus. And that is what will help you deal with it. That is what will help you get through it. That is what will help us stay focused on the right thing. Amen? I shared this passage on Thursday night. It says in Luke 21:28, it says Jesus talking, so when all these things begin to happen, stand and look up, for your salvation is near. Now, the context of that is he's telling his disciples these things that would happen as it was getting close to his return, to the end times. And it makes more sense to me ever now than it ever has, because I see these things that he talked about starting to happen, all right? So I'm like, whoa, the time is really getting near. But here's what I think is key about this that we need to remember. He says, so when you see these things, that's what he's saying. When you see these things, we're seeing these things happening. He tells us what to do. He says, stand or get up, be alert, and look up. Now, see, in my flesh, my tendency can be to look at those things and get caught up in those things and how uncomfortable they are, or how I can't understand this is going on, or how I don't like this going on. And I think that's Jesus knowing that. That's why he said, don't do that, because that's going to lead to you become discouraged. It's going to lead to you, having division with other people. It's going to lead to you getting angry. No, no, no. When these things start happening and you see these things, make sure you're looking up. Keep your mind on heavenly minded things, on the truth we know of what's going to happen, what's it's leading up to, because that will keep you having the right perspective. That's what will keep you unified. Amen. So that's my exhortation to all of us. Keep looking up and we'll have no problem being unified. All right. Amen. All right. So that's the second thing. First thing, they were spirit filled. Second, they were in unity. Here's the third thing. It says in verse 45, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. So the third thing I want you to see is that they were generous. Now, there was a special need at this time. If you guys have been tracking with us, what was going on was they had this big celebration happening in Jerusalem, the Feast of Pentecost. And what would happen in the feasts, people would come that didn't live in Jerusalem. They'd come to worship there at the temple. They'd come to celebrate there. So there's all these people from surrounding areas that weren't of there. And that's when this baptism of the Holy Spirit happens and they start speaking in tongues or in other languages. These people hear them speaking their native languages. As we saw a couple weeks ago, Peter preaches the gospel. 3,000 people get saved. And now these 3,000 people that need to be discipled, they got nowhere to go. So what did they have to do? They had to, it says here, or they didn't have to, but they chose to basically sell all their possessions to help out these people that needed somewhere to stay while they were being getting their questions answered and being discipled, so they didn't have to go back to their homes right away, okay? Now, that it's important to understand that, because some people have looked at this and they're like, they've used it as their wrong application to back up living in like a communist society where basically everything's owned by the public and you give people what they need, or back up kind of communal type living, like where everyone just sells everything and lives in this big commune. That is a wrong application. And here's the reason, three reasons I'm going to give you. Number one, this was temporary to best that we knew. Okay, like it didn't last very long. It was just an immediate need that got taken care of. And eventually people ended up scattering, going back to their homes and taking the gospel with them. Second thing, it wasn't forced on anyone. It was a Holy Spirit led thing to basically bless their brothers and sisters. And then the third reason is that basically it wasn't necessarily handled correctly, because the church in Jerusalem from this point on had financial problems the rest of the time. They had to always be asking for help from, or get help from other areas or whatnot. So again, it's not really a good or that's a wrong way to take that application. But having said that, their heart here to basically be committed and devoted to one another to such a degree is, whoa, that's my brother and sister. They need help. I'm there. That's good. And then their heart, like Jody was just praying this earlier, like that heart of generosity, basically 2 Corinthians 9, Paul talks about how the Lord loves a cheerful giver. He loves it when we're generous, because basically it reflects him, because we've been given far more than he's ever given us, right? Or that we could ever give. And so that reflects God. That's again, when you're walking by the Spirit, you're just naturally generous. And see, that's the key. Like sometimes you can't tell yourself just to be a generous person. Yeah, it's not going to work. What happens is when you're devoted to the right things, when your focus is on God, when you're abiding, when you're close to Jesus, you're naturally just generous, because your focus isn't on the stuff of this world. It's on everything that he's given you. And you realize that whatever he gives you, you could give him in return. It's chump change. It's like you can't outgive him. You've gotten so much from him, and everything he has is better. So you just look at things differently. You look at things like with a looser grip. So like when God prompts you, like, hey, I want you to help this person. I want you to drop what you're doing and go see if this person has a need. You're just like, okay, cool. Because you're just so thankful for everything you have. You just can't wait to, in a sense, share some of that with other people. And it's blessed my heart, like over the years, to see people in this church that is their heart. It's like they might be blessed like financially, but in their minds, it's like, it's not mine, it's God's. And they see an opportunity and they're like, cool, I'm going to listen to the Holy Spirit. I'm going to bless this person. Or whether that's time or finances, it might just be time. It's like, you know what? I'm going to drop what I'm doing. This person's hurting. They need us. I'm going to go over there. I'm going to mow their lawn. I'm going to just be there for them. You know, that's a generous heart that comes out of being devoted to these things. That's what these guys were doing. And here's the thing, guys. I need to be honest with you. Like, until Jesus comes back to get us, things aren't going to get better. They're not going to get easier. We're going through Revelation, and if you haven't been tracking with us on Thursday, I encourage you to listen to the teachings or watch or start joining us, because they're only going to get worse. Now, praise the Lord, we're going to be gone for the worst of it. But I don't know how bad things are going to get before we are gone. And so we don't want to get into this mindset of thinking that somehow, like, what's happening is abnormal. We can go back to the way things were. They're not going to go back. This is the path that God has told us enough to know that this is what's supposed to happen. So we're just going to keep faithful. We're going to keep our eyes on Jesus. And in that, I'm sure there's going to be more and more opportunities where we have to come together and take care of each other and be there for each other. Another reason why it's important that we're unified. Amen. So we're not going through this hard stuff by ourselves because we're not intended to. Be excited about that. Look at all these people you have to do life. All this difficult stuff that's happening, that's going to continue to happen, you don't have to do it alone. You don't only have just your blood family. You have your family that you're going to spend eternity with. Amen? All right. So, again, we see that they were generous. Now, the fourth thing, it goes on in verse 46 to talk about. It says, and day by day, attending the temple together, or we talked about this last week, they were meeting in large corporate settings like we're doing right here, and then breaking bread in their homes, or they were coming together in smaller gatherings, meeting together as well, not just at church. And day by day, they were doing this all the time. They received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. So the fourth thing I want you to see here is that they were thankful. And this has a little more significance if you understand that they've just sold everything they had. They have nothing to their names, okay, based off of what we can understand. Yet they're not focused on what they gave up or what they lost. What they're focused on, because of their devotion to Jesus, is everything that they've gained. And that's key. See, when our devotion is in the right place, when we're focused on the right things, you won't have a problem being thankful. You won't be focused on what you lost. You won't be focused on what's being taken away. You won't be focused on things that aren't working out the way that you would like, because you'll just be so giddy at everything Jesus has done for you and that he is doing for you, and that all those realities can never be touched. And it produces a heart of worship and thanks, like these guys who don't have anything for that matter. They're just sharing everything and they're just like, praise God again. It came simply out of being devoted to him. And that's what he wants for all of us. Because it's like the opposite of these things. To be greedy instead of generous. To be unthankful. And always wanting what you don't have. Those don't feel good. God has saved us from those things. He's given us the ability to overcome them simply by knowing him and experiencing his love and his grace upon grace in our lives. We should not want to put ourselves under that yoke again that he's freed us from. And again, he makes it so simple. Just be devoted to him. And so the last thing I want to point out is at the end of verse 47 there, and it says, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So as the fifth result of being devoted to those four things is that they were fruitful. They didn't have some big, giant, trendy building. They didn't have some mega dynamic pastor. They didn't have, you know, this awesome put together concert style worship team. Yet every day the Lord was saving people and adding people. And that's key, because again, it's not up to us to save people. Basically, what this shows us is just be devoted to Jesus. These guys were just devoted to prayer, to his word, to doing life together, loving each other, remembering the cross. And the result of that was healthy sheep. And healthy sheep produce healthy sheep. You guys might have heard that before, but that's God just added. So if we're devoted to those things, it'll just happen. Here's why. Because when you see these attributes, when you see awe, when people see generosity, when they see unity, when they see thankfulness, those are all things you don't find out there. And they will want to know why. And the answer is, I'm just devoted to Jesus. He saved me. He's devoted to me, so I'm devoted to him. I'd be crazy not to. And that's what God uses to get people's attention, to open their hearts, to help them see their need for him. Amen? Amen. All right. Well, as the worship team comes back up here, I just want to close on these things that they're devoted to. Because again, if you've gone to Coastline, if you've gone to this church for any number of years, you know that this is our mantra. Again, this is the things that in whatever gatherings we're doing, we are trying to be devoted to these things because we want to follow the same example of them so we can experience these same results, okay? And if you've gone here for a long amount of time, this is like your church family, I would guess that you have bought into this. You've seen the fruit in your life and you've seen it in others that you would never like depart from it. I know for me, like when I came to this church, I had never been a part of something really so simple, like so like not externally focused, but just like, man, we just want to see Jesus. And this is how they did it then. So we're just going to do it now. We're going to keep it really simple. And I started growing like never before in my Christian walk. And so then when I got put in charge of a ministry, it's like, oh, I'm going to keep it the same way. And I saw fruit in other people. So like I would never depart from following what we see in Scripture because I've seen the fruit of it. Now, having said that, this along with anything else in God's word can fall into, we can fall into the trap of thinking that just because we believe it, we're living it in our lives the way we should. Just because we sit here and see this and go, amen, amen, that our lives are reflected of it. And so that's kind of what I want you to do business with the Lord as we sing this last song, and make sure that that's not the case with you. Are you devoted to Jesus? Because what that looks like is, are you devoted to his word? I can't answer that for you. Only you can answer that. What does your life reflect? Does your life reflect that? Are you devoted to prayer? Are you devoted to remembering what he's done for you on the cross? Are you devoted to each other, living life together? And here's the thing. If you don't feel or you don't see the Spirit moving in your life, if you aren't in a place of unity with other believers, if you aren't in a place of just being generous, like you have a hard time letting go of stuff of this world, if you have a hard time being thankful, you're so upset at what you don't have or how things aren't the way you want, if you don't see a lot of fruit around you as a result of just people doing life with you, it's probably indicative of your devotion being somewhere else than it should be. Now, here's the thing that's really cool. No matter where I'm at with my devotion with Jesus, it never changes the fact that he's 100% fully committed to being devoted to me, which makes it really easy to get my priorities right. Because he's not sitting there saying, well, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this. No. He's just like, cool. Just turn back to me. Abide. Make me the priority. And these ways we see the early church do it, that's how you do it. But just like any relationship, and maybe you guys have experienced this personally before, it takes two people to experience the blessings of devotion. I've counseled couples before where one is fully devoted to the other, but the other is not devoted to them. And that person that isn't devoted can't experience the fruit or the blessings of the other person's devotion because they're just not wanting it. They're not receiving it. But Jesus wants you to receive it. He's done everything for you to receive it. And all you got to do, make him the priority. And that's not by doing stuff. It's by devoting your relationship, making sure he's the primary relationship in your life. As I talked about last week, making sure being in his word so he can speak to you is a priority. Making sure that you are talking to him daily about stuff in your life. Making sure that you are not forsaking the gathering of the saints. Not just on Sundays, but hanging out with other believers and pouring into each other and encouraging and edifying. Remembering the cross. Understanding where you stand with God, because that overshadows everything else. Not losing sight of that. That's what it looks like. And as soon as you do that, then you start these things that we see happening in their life. That unity, that generosity, that thankfulness, that spirit-filled, that fruitfulness. It just happens. And then you just love Jesus even more. Because that's I mean, nobody's not going to want to experience that. Like I said, we all want that awe. And that just pushes you even closer to Him. Amen? Amen. All right. I'm going to pray. And we're going to sing one last song. If you guys need prayer for anything, we'll have some of our prayer team up here. I definitely, guys, encourage you. Man, don't let this opportunity slip as far as just talk to God right now. Maybe even right now, the Holy Spirit is already prompting in your heart something that you're like, yeah, I struggle with one of those things. So, Lord, what in my life am I not devoted to? You might not even know. You might just, that's why you have the Holy Spirit. Like, Lord, show me, because I want to be. I don't know what I'm neglecting. Help me. And God will do that if you are sincere. Amen? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, I thank you so much that you have made it so easy for us to have this constant relationship with you, to be connected to you, Lord. It's not based on anything we do or don't do. In a sense, we are connected to you, but we hurt ourselves by just not receiving the benefits of that devotion you want to give to us because we're just not looking for it sometimes. And I'm sorry for that. I'm the first one to admit that I can get my eyes on all types of other things and just let my devotion change and go with the waves of the storms of this life and go all over the place when, Lord, you in your patience and in your love just continually come to me and remind me just to be with you over everything else. This doesn't say they devoted themselves to doing things. They devoted themselves to these aspects of their relationship with you. And that's what led to these benefits that we all want to have in our lives, Lord. I pray in these last days, we would experience the benefits of your devotion to an even greater degree, Lord. In a sense, you've stripped a lot of stuff away in your mercy to help us have a chance to make sure our devotion was on the right thing first and foremost. And that's where we want to keep it, Lord. Speak to your people right now. May our hearts and my ears be open to hear what you have to say. In Jesus' name, amen.